Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning on the last day of the year. Oh, I just can't help myself. I read the short form today. And of the second reading, too. So I saved you a page and a half. Whew, I feel better already. The part I didn't read, Simeon and Anna, when they took Jesus for the purification, etc. So just so you know what you missed. Clearly, these are important days. In the high season of Advent, years ago. But next Sunday will be the last Sunday of Christmas. It'll be the Feast of the Epiphany. And then the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord will be the next day, Monday. You can come to church if you want. It's not a holy day, but you can still come. On a Monday, there's no collection. The homily is shorter. And the reason that is, it really, it all fits into the cycle of the liturgical year, which of course has 34 Sundays of ordinary time, inclusive of Lent, Easter, and Advent, Christmas. It all is dependent upon the lunar cycles, as the, even now, the Christian year, liturgical year, is built on the lunar cycles when they would sacrifice the Paschal lambs, the Jews, in the early centuries, according to the lunar cycle. I know you were thinking about that when you woke up this morning, so I wanted to make sure you understood. You say, well, wait a second. You know, you skipped something here. No, next Sunday is going to be the last Sunday. So let's savor. Did you savor? Yeah. What we reflected on last week, did you learn anything about yourself? About Jesus savoring? The Lord sure spoke to me. I try to stay in bed longer on my day off, and I try to pray longer, and I did. And the Lord kind of really blessed me with that, so I was blessed. I hope you were too. So let's go back to the source of that as we celebrate today the Feast of the Holy Family. It's a beautiful feast. For some reason, I'm particularly drawn to it. Well, probably because it's our feast as much as any other feast of the church year, which they're all ours, given us to God through Christ. Most of the feasts are of Christ, but, you know, today and then again tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a Marian feast, which ultimately is still a Christ feast. Tomorrow we'll celebrate the Feast of the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, on New Year's Day. But again, before I prolong the point, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and took his place among us. I think that's part of what I reflected with you last Sunday, and I invited you to savor that. It appeals to me that this is a very fruitful way, effective way, an important way to end the church, the chronological year, the calendar year, and begin the new year, to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. We are who we are in Christ because he chose to become one like ourselves. Part of the reason I appreciate and enjoy the Feast of the Holy Family is not only because we all have one, right? Nobody here did not have a family. The family might have been very dysfunctional, might have been very unhappy, it might have been very addictive, or all the, you know, difficult things that happen in families, but you still got one. You had a mother and you had a father. And eventually, in this reflection, as in the reading, our families, in one way or the other, even through all the messiness and the challenges and the disappointments and the hurts, your family, you are holy. Oh, Father, you haven't been to my house. Well, you haven't been to mine either. More on holiness later. Part of my reflection, I wrote this article a couple of weeks ago, and this past Friday when I was having my day off. I'm going to give you a homily and a half today, because this came to me, and I know the Lord wants me to tell you this. Again, I think it's a good way to close the year and begin the year. Why? Because we would not be who we are as the redeemed of God without the incarnation. That God in Christ is our source and our origin. God in Christ is our deepest longing and ultimately our fulfillment, right? In the promise of eternal life. Love is the deepest meaning of life. Oh, I know that sounds like it should just be on a bumper sticker. But hear the words and understand. Love is the deepest meaning of your life. We're created in love, we're created by love, and we're created for love. It's the deepest truth of our existence, and it's the path, ultimately, inconvenient and challenging as it is the path to our greatest holiness. If you will recall from the first letter of John, God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. It's in that context that we reflect today on the Feast of the Holy Family. Now, this little addendum and this insight came to me, I know by grace, because it was early in the morning and I was just kind of waking up. If love is our source and origin, this is step two of your savoring, please. With this love, considered to be your inner truth and your inner goodness, God in you. We all get challenged in life, do we not? We had a very nice crowd last night. What was it, 160 or 70 or so? That's big for a Saturday evening. And I could see more there, but I see people here as well, that many of you have lost loved ones this year. Many of you are caregivers at home. Many of you have people in assisted living or nursing homes, maybe memory facilities. Maybe some of you are in families that struggle or deal with mental illness and all these kinds of problems that families have. Maybe that's exactly why we read from the book of Sirach, so that the son or daughter who honors, says father more often, but honors parents, fathers and mothers, those who honor their parents, their prayers will be heard and their sins will be forgiven. That's worth honoring. Now, honoring can be difficult. It's challenging. And I know people say, oh, father, you know, I got to take care of my husband. You know, he drives me crazy. Or the husband says, you know, I got to, you know, my wife, and, you know, she's losing her memory and, you know, this and that. I get so angry. You know, I said, I'm so sinful. You know, I just don't know how God can love me. That's the stage, doesn't it? Does anybody here have a perfect life? Anybody here never get impatient or feel selfish or feel like God's mad at you because you treated somebody badly? Hey, we've all been there. When that happens, well, don't even wait for that to happen. When the house is quiet, if it's not quiet, go into the bathroom and shut the door. Maybe lock the door if you have little kids. And look in the mirror. And in the mirror, remember that you're looking in the mirror in light of your inner truth, which is Christ, your inner goodness, which is God in the Spirit. Look in the mirror and remind yourself that you're loved. And your beloved. And stand there long enough to feel, please, a self-love, a self-valuing, a self-appreciation. Learn to look at yourself in such a way, and if it takes 2 or 3 hours, someone's probably going to knock on the door by then. The other half of that insight is to look in the mirror rather than looking at the world, or rather than seeing yourself in light of the world. because the world will inevitably judge and criticize. The world will tell us what to be and how to be. And until we learn and take the time to value ourselves, looking in the mirror or not, with acceptance and patience, we'll take what's in the world into ourselves, and we'll begin to feel that the world gives us our identity. It does not. Your identity is in the incarnation of God, who came to us so that we could be one with Him. As I've been pointing out in this last year, God became human so we could share by participation in Christ, we could share in the divine nature through God in Christ. So if you see yourself and the world in these eyes of love, you will have more patience, compassion, and mercy and forgiveness for the world. So that if you watch the news, you don't have to take it all in as if it was yours to fix or yours to be afraid of. And if you find yourself confirmed or validated, if you have an experience, it only might take that long to feel, yeah, you know, Father's right. God does love me. And even though I'm impatient or selfish or whatever from time to time, or maybe pretty regularly, my inner truth doesn't change because it comes from your soul. And your soul is where God lives in you. And there's a part of that soul that is unchanging. And it's that which makes you holy. Holy does not depend on your performance. It's not performance-based. Your holiness is a gift of God. You are holy because Christ honored so much your humanity, your physicality, and your spiritual nature by becoming one like us. So this hunk of flesh, if you will, kind of, whatever, rude maybe, this hunk of flesh is holy. If you allow yourself to see that goodness and that light and that truth that you are, it will push back the inclination to judge, disdain, or feel guilt and shame about yourself, or blaming and projecting it onto the world or onto the other in your house, your home. It'll change the way you look at the world, and you'll know the difference between what the world is and what you are. If you find that love and feel and accept that love in yourself, it'll increase your faith and your trust in God and trust in yourself. It'll create a space in you for confidence and peace, giving you a greater capacity to be a helper and a giver, a builder, rather than a complainer or one who breaks others down in negativity. It will give you hope and encouragement rather than criticism or rejection. I think that's pertinent. I think it's very pertinent in light of the Feast of the Holy Family. Because as much as the world has changed in 50 years, and it's been 50 years, we've seen a lot of changes, the family continues to be the root and foundation of human life. As goes family, so goes the rhythm of culture and society. It's still true. The family is the seedbed of human formation in love and development, whereby when children are nurtured and loved, they have a much greater chance to feel the security of being faith-filled, trusting God because they can trust their parents. I know it sounds pretty idealistic, doesn't it? But sometimes it's the very messiness of the impatience and the sins, and sometimes, dare I say, even the dysfunctions, that we persist and persevere so that we can allow ourselves to love even in imperfect times. Don't wait for the perfect times, because if they come, they're only going to last that long. You know what I mean? Just look at the weather. It was raining a minute ago. Now it's snowing. Wait, it's raining again. We all know the messiness of life. And yet it's that messiness that can teach us patience and tolerance and acceptance. Isn't that messiness the very thing that helps us to grow in our ability and necessity to forgive? Sometimes it does fail. Sometimes families are broken and they're separated. But as again we learned from the first reading, the path to God is always open. And the person who trusts and believes and continues to pray, and to the best of their ability continues to honor parent and child, the openness of the Lord's healing and restoration will remain. May take a while, but God will never leave you absent or alone. How did Jesus become the man of faith and power that he did, that he became? Ultimately, the easy answer, he was divine. It was easy for him. You think? I don't think many of us would last more than a day with those guys. How would you like to be Mary? Jesus turned out to be the man he was because of the parents he had. I know he was divine, but he was as human as you and I. Look at the faith, the love, the perseverance, the resilience of Mary, and her own heart and mind for justice and compassion. Where did that come from? Because she lived in a culture of oppression and poverty. She knew that she had to persist. She wasn't going to give up. And that strength and courage and perseverance and resilience came because of her faith in God. And Jesus grew up in that environment. The second half of the reading we didn't read, that part that you love, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Take the smile off your face, Darren. Do you realize it was St. Joseph who became submissive, very likely to the same degree that Mary, when Joseph submitted himself to the will of God through the angel, take Mary as your wife, that child is by the Holy Spirit. Joseph submitted and allowed God to interrupt his life, and he said yes to God. He gave his yes. Could we call that the annunciation of God to Joseph? We're called to be submissive to one another. Jesus became the man he was not only because he was divine, but because he lived in that holy family, because he had holy parents. And you say, well, I'm no Mary and I'm no Joseph, but you could be. Because your holiness is from God. Because Jesus became incarnate, now our nature shares in the holiness of Jesus himself. It doesn't depend on your behavior, although you'll feel better about it if you behave. That holiness is your identity in Christ. And it's an identity out of your origin and nature in God that's already accomplished in the dying and the rising of Jesus. I love the second reading from Paul to the Colossians. I preferred the previous translation in the New American Version rather than the New American Standard. Not that it matters. Because you are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility. Used to say meekness. Now they say gentleness. Humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another lovingly. Forgive one another as you have been forgiven in Christ. Sounds impossible, right? Maybe a little idealized, but it's exactly the nature and identity that's been given us in the Lord. Jesus knows it's messy. Don't think Mary and Joseph never got impatient with Jesus. I'm sure they did. You remember the time that when he was 12 in the temple and they were, three days? Wow. They didn't watch the kid for 3 days? Now today they'd call that parent abuse. But they had to walk 3 days back to go find the kid. And then he says, well, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Oh, come here and say that and I'll wring your little neck. Don't you think Mary would have said that? What do you think Joseph wanted to say? Do you think Jesus was never impatient? I think he had it one day with those disciples, and he said, "Oh my, how long can I endure you? How long do I have to put up with this?" He said, literally, it's wherever it is, Matthew's gospel. Don't diminish yourself just because you have a bad 5 minutes or 50 years. You already have Christ. You are holy because of Christ. Consider how the Word made flesh was reflected in the life of Mary. They did not have easy lives. They both said yes. They traveled with grave discomfort. I wouldn't know the experience, but if you were 8 or 8.5 months pregnant and someone said, go on a journey, don't take your SUV or your Lexus or whatever you drive, but jump on the back of a donkey or sit in the back of this cart and feel good about it for 3 days. And they got there and the Holiday Inn was full and Hilton wasn't taking any more people, so they stayed in the alley. That wasn't fun. And then the day after he was born or whatever that time frame was, Joseph has another dream. You think the guy probably had sleep apnea because he was afraid to go to sleep. He was going to have another dream. Then he had to take Jesus into exile with Mary. Hard life. Not easy, but they persevered with resilience and patience against every challenge and loss, hurt, confusion, and difficulty. How is Christ evident in your family, in the way you, as a parent, or spouse, or grandparent, seek to serve and love and forgive and model the Christian life? Please don't shy away from an awareness that you are holy. If you start losing that, go back to the bathroom and shut the door and look in the mirror some more. You're holy. And don't let, I refer to it, I can't sing it so early in the morning, forget half the words anyway. Josh Grogan, it was not his song, but he sings it, I forget the name. We fall down, we get up. We fall down, we get up. Every time you fall down doesn't make you less holy. Every time you get up does make you more holy. Because it's the persistence and the resilience of God's grace in you. As we conclude the year and as we begin the new year coming, how do you embody in your body, in your person, in yourself, how do you embody Christ? You are a dwelling place of God, a temple of the Holy Spirit. How is the Spirit and the person of Christ in you evident in the way you live your life? Don't worry about messy. You weren't the first and you won't be the last to have a messy life. Exactly why we have a Redeemer who became incarnate. Tomorrow we're going to hear from the book of Numbers, again, a holy day, the solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. And because I like it so much, I'll try to do this early in the morning for you as we conclude. May the Lord bless and keep you. May he let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you his peace. As you have been blessed, be a blessing.